The inky darkness was now dissipating. Night had come to an end, and the blackness that had covered the shame was beginning to lighten. Off in the east, the sun began to rise, but the sun before Pilate was shattered. His head hung low, his crimson and bloody body, wearing a crimson robe that no doubt fit in with his own blood, now dried and caked, a man hardly even recognizable as a man, stood before a mob and stood before Pilate. You know, here was a man that had been a lover of mankind. Here was one who had never sinned. Here was one that had done only good, and now as he stood before Pilate, the voices that came crying were, "Crucify him! Crucify him!" Pilate, of course, knowing Jesus was innocent, came out in the early morning and he said, "Behold your king." And they said, "We don't want this man to be our king. We have but one king, and that is Caesar. We don't like what we see." But you know, today I suspect that as we look at our king, as we behold Jesus Christ, and as we behold the king, I wonder if we really like what we see as well. You know, Jesus Christ came to a world that didn't accept him. The Jews were looking for a king that would come in and throw out the Romans and throw off the yoke of bondage and give them the freedom that they thought they so well deserved. They didn't like what they saw. The Romans, of course, certainly didn't like what they saw because they were afraid Jesus was going to bring some kind of an insurrection. But do we like what we see in Jesus as well? Speaking for a couple of minutes, I want us to behold the king. I want us to think about King Jesus. First of all, King Jesus is not what we might expect. King Jesus, first of all, came as flesh and blood. You know, we like our heroes to be superheroes, don't we? We like our kings to be with pomp and circumstances, almost infallible. We like our gods, as the Romans and the Greeks did, to be so greater than anything we could imagine. Well, Jesus is that, but he didn't come that way. Jesus came as flesh and blood. He came as Emmanuel, God with us. He came in a body of human flesh so that he could sacrifice that body on the cross for us. He didn't come to a wealthy family. He came to a peasant woman and her husband. He came to an environment that didn't even have room for him, and they had to put him in a stinking cave to be born. That's the king that we need to behold. But you know, as I look at the king this tonight, perhaps I don't want to understand what the king is really like, because maybe he will make some requirements of me. Maybe as I look at Jesus and behold the king and his entrance into this world, maybe it will require of me that I give up some of my love for the things of life. Maybe it will require of me that I become a little bit more like Jesus was in the poverty, the humbleness that he took upon himself as he came to this earth. Jesus Christ also, though, as the king, was one who had no popularity. You know, again, we like our kings, we like our rulers to be popular. We take votes and we take surveys to see the popularity ratings. Jesus was totally unpopular. Jesus had no place really to call his own. He really had no friends per se, as the world sees friendship. On one occasion, Jesus said, "The foxes have holes and the birds of the air have their nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head." And could it be tonight, as we behold the king, that maybe that poor and friendlessness speaks to us because we are so interested, are we not, as people, in being popular? We are so interested in being the person who would be the center of attention and have all the friends and accolades of this world. Our king didn't have that. And I'm convinced that that's not our mission either. King Jesus, though, was different than most kings. He didn't lock himself away in ivory towers. He didn't lock himself away in beautiful surroundings, but he mingled with the poor. He mingled with the sinners. He mingled with the peasants. He would touch the lepers, the outcasts of society. He would touch them and heal them and speak to them and treat them as if they were one on one like anyone else. I wonder sometimes as I behold the king if in reality that's a king I don't want. Because you see, there are some classes of folks that I just don't know how to deal with. There are those with problems, there are those with heartaches, there are those with sins that I've never experienced. And I think one of the dangers, although we certainly want to raise our children in the church and we want them to be Christians and we want them to grow up and marry the Lord, I think one of the dangers is that perhaps they never truly appreciate from whence others have come. Jesus was a friend of sinners. But Jesus, our King, as we behold him tonight, he was a man of sorrows. You know, Jesus was someone who could weep with others in Luke the 13th chapter, or the 11th chapter rather, as Lazarus, his dear friend, dies. Jesus, having delayed his coming, finally comes, and you remember that Martha comes out and kind of rebukes Jesus. Jesus says, this will turn out okay. And Martha says, I know that in the end, of course, there will be a resurrection. But of course, Jesus, as he goes to the tomb, he sees all the weeping and he empathizes with them. I'm convinced he knew that he could raise the dead. He could raise Lazarus. In a few moments, he would say, Lazarus, come forth. But for this moment, behold the king. As in the shortest verse of the scriptures, it says, Jesus wept. I'm convinced that there was more there than just Jesus weeping because people were unbelieving. I'm convinced that Jesus was empathetic with those around him. And I wonder, do I really want a king like that? Do I want to be a citizen of a kingdom where our king says, you be empathetic with those round about us? Oh, we're judgmental. We're pompous. We like to think that we've got it all together. But you know, really, in reality, it is those that mourn, not only over their own sins, but over the cares of others and empathy that God promises to bless. But you know, as we behold the king tonight, Jesus was a forgiver. He was a forgiver. As he hung up on the cross and he stretched out his arms and embraced the world, he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. In his ministry, on one occasion, he came across a lady that was about ready to be stoned to death, taken in adultery. And Jesus, after writing on the ground and basically ignoring what was going around about him, he rose and he spoke to those accusers and he says, you without guilt cast the first stone. And then later he would go on and tell this lady, go and sin no more. There was responsibility, sure, but he forgave her. Do I have to forgive people today? Do I have to let things slip over me and say, I'm going to be the bigger person? King Jesus did. And I think we do too. But you know, Jesus also was a servant to all. King Jesus, as we behold him tonight, he was the king who was not above on his knees washing the disciples' feet. You know, we've gone to great lengths, have we not? And rightly so, I guess, theologically, to explain away why we don't do foot washing. And I'm not advocating that tonight because there's no example in the church of that being an ordinance. It certainly was something they did in the home as an act of hospitality. But I just wonder, in quiet moments of musing, if we would not be a little more humble if that were our cultural practice today. What if I really had to stoop down to your feet as you came in from a long trip and wash your feet? Would I feel more like Jesus? Would I really be in heart more like the king? I don't know. But maybe. But Jesus stooped. He took a basin and he took a towel. And with those two items, he demonstrated great love and humility and said, you're my disciples. You need to do the same thing. But you know, finally this evening, as we behold our king was one who sacrificed everything. He left the portals of glory. He left heaven. He left the camaraderie of God the Father to come to a world of sin and shame and live not only a human life, but the most despicable human life. And to die the most despicable human death. You know, Jesus didn't come, as we so often think of him, draped in pagan tinsel and enshrined in, cathedrals. He came as one who was willing to die for us. Does that mean tonight that that's who I need to be? As I behold my King and as you behold your King tonight, do we need to sacrifice as well? I think so. Sometimes it's going to be hard. Sometimes we, like Jesus, are going to have to take upon ourselves the reproach that others lay upon us. But as we behold the King, that's exactly what he did. As we think about the King tonight in closing, I'm so in love with the words of the Baird that said this. He spoke to the glory of King Jesus when he said, above all powers, above all kings, above all nature and all created things, above all wisdom and all the ways of man, you were here before the world began. Above all kingdoms, above all thrones, above all wonders this world has ever known, above all wealth and treasures of the earth, there's no way to measure what you're worth. Crucified, laid behind a stone, you lived to die, rejected and alone, like a rose trampled on the ground. You took the fall and thought of me above all. Behold the King.